I'll call the April 3rd Common Council meeting to order. Madam Clerk, please call a roll.
Mayor Olson.
Here.
Alderman Dander.
Here.
Alderman Mayer.
Here.
Alderwoman Wilhelm.
Here.
Alderman Taylor.
Here.
Alderman Barber.
Here.
Alderwoman Mayer.
Here.
We have a quorum. We have two Cub Scouts in the audience, Ethan and Brandon Allen. Please come forward, guys, and lead us in the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Nice job, guys.
Before we move on, I'd like to ask for a moment of silence in memory of Detective Kevin Lehrman, who passed away a week ago. Thank you very much. Move on to item B1, citizens' comment period. Any citizen wishing to speak, please rise, come forward, give us your name and address, and speak your piece.
Judy Mills, 8018 West Winston Way, Franklin. last week, was it Zilber? Was he the builder that was here? It started with a Z. And he had a presentation of apartment buildings that he wanted to put up off of 27th Street and in a TIF district that was going to expire. And the design he had for those buildings was not spectacular. And it just seems to me that if we're going to put up apartment buildings, which I don't like in the first place, but if you're going to do that, they should look good. And not putting peak roofs on a building so that you think it's going to be invisible, that was the silliest statement I ever heard. If it's a three-story building, it's going to be seen. It's going to be seen. But I was driving around Brookfield the other day, and in back areas, and where they have condos and where they have apartment buildings, and the architecture was whether they were less expensive or more expensive, and you could tell it by the architecture. But the architecture was striking. And nothing looked cheap or crummy. It just all had a classy look. And it just strikes me when I look at things that are going up here in Franklin that it just doesn't look classy. And especially where you put things where people are entering the city and the buildings that are going up have for example, when you come in the apartment buildings for the priests across from the monastery. Those are terrible buildings. They look awful, and that's the first thing people see when they come into Franklin. We had a bucolic little Crystal Ridge ski hill, and now we've got that rock thing sitting there. I mean, it seems like when people are coming into the city, what they're seeing is not our best as they enter the city, but some stuff. And architecture says so much about how a city looks. And Franklin doesn't always, we have striking examples of architecture here. And then we have stuff that is not good at all. And it seems like we hit these peaks and these valleys. And we don't have a standard at all, it seems to me, when I look at what's going up in Franklin. And I don't understand why we don't have these standards. We put up this beautiful library. Kitty Corner across the street is the Windham Hills area. Gorgeous. And then we turn around and put up something else that looks terrible. And that dichotomy bothers me so much. And I don't know who's in charge of all this architecture, but it's something that I think Franklin needs to think about as a whole. because it reflects on the community and where you're putting buildings. 27th Street is a huge strip where people, not only Franklin people, Oak Creek people, that are people coming through the area, they see that, and it reflects on Franklin. And to put up buildings that aren't going to look good just because you can put up cheap apartments, I don't think that reflects well when that's a main drag that people see. I think that's where your best architecture should be, is along 27th Street. You know, Northwestern did a wonderful job with their architectural piece, and I think you have to continue that kind of growth if you're going to okay architectural pieces. It's just my feeling that we do such a good job in some areas, and then we just slide down in others. And I think you need to think about that and have the Planning Commission think about that when they do that. Secondly, you just mentioned Detective Learman. It would have been nice if you said something about him other than just, I don't know him at all, but other than to say, let's bow our heads and think about him because he passed away. It would have been nice to have something said about him if he served the city for a period of time, to just mention a little bit about the man, or anybody that you're going to mention. It would be a nice thing to say something about them.
Okay. Detective Learman was a 19-year veteran of Franklin Police Department. He was a detective at the time of his passing. He's a member of the SWAT team. He was the chief instructor for firearms as well as defense and arrest tactics. He's a patrol officer for 12 of those years, highly regarded by his friends and colleagues on the police department. And he left a wife and two small children.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
That should have been part of your
story. Thank you, Ms. Mills. Thank you. Anyone else? Anyone else wishing to speak?
Mayor, can I just add?
Alderman Mayor.
I was going to say this before, too, and thank you for bringing it up again. I worked on the fire department for 20-some years, and I worked alongside Detective Learman when he was a patrol officer and as he worked his way up, and I knew him very well. His brother is also a captain on the police department, so he was well-respected not only by the police department but by the fire department as well, and he was a very fine individual and a fine police officer. And again, all of Franklin, the entire community, it suffered a great loss with losing Detective Learman. Thank you.
Thank you, Alderman. Alderwoman Wilhelm.
I'm not going to hit all of her points, but I did make some notes. I have some comments because I don't think you have a full understanding of the process and that. So I'll, you know, if you want to talk with me after the meeting or give me a call sometime, I can discuss some of the points that you made.
Is this citizen comment, Brad? Any other citizen wishing to speak on any matter? Any other citizen? Seeing no one rise, I'll close the citizen's comment period. Move on to item B2, proclamation and recognition of Assistant Fire Chief Ronald F. Mayer for his 35 years of dedicated life and service to protect the health, safety, and welfare of the community and of the people of the city of Franklin. Ron, by the way, could not be here tonight. He had another commitment, and at some point we'll do this for him again. Whereas Ronald F. Mayer hails from one of Franklin's founding families and has roots in the community that extend back generations, and whereas Ronald F. Mayer began his fire service career as a paid-on-call firefighter the summer he graduated from Franklin High School in 1982. Man. Whereas Ronald F. Mayer was one of the original 12 firefighters hired in 1989 in order to staff Franklin's first Milwaukee County paramedic ambulance on a 24-hour basis, bringing advanced-level pre-hospital emergency care and round-the-clock fire protection to the citizens of Franklin for the first time in its history. And whereas Ronald F. Mayer quickly earned the respect of his peers and the trust of his superiors and was promoted to the rank of captain in January of 1990 and to battalion chief in 2000, proudly and adeptly serving in those ranks as commander of the Fighting Green Shift for 23 years. And whereas in 2013, Ronald F. Mayer once again placed the needs of the department and the city before his own interests and stepped up to accept the position of Assistant Fire Chief. And whereas in his role, Assistant Chief Mayer not only served as the department's operations and training officer, but also the department's liaison to multiple professional organizations, including the Milwaukee County Fire Training Officers Association and the Mutual Aid Box Alarm System, MABUS, Division 107 Operations Committee, where his wealth of knowledge, experience, and commitment to emergency responder safety and continuous improvement has enhanced the reputation and stature of the Franklin Fire Department and has helped to foster a more progressive and cooperative fire and EMS response throughout the region and to promote a culture change toward enhanced firefighter and citizen health, safety, and wellness. And whereas Ronald F. Mayer repeatedly put his life on the line in service of others, earning Franklin's only appointment to the Wisconsin Police and Fire Hall of Fame, and whereas more than any other member in history, Ron's 35 years of service to the Franklin Fire Department has served as a bridge between the proud past and bright future, and has defined and exemplified the mission, vision, and values of the Franklin Fire Department, where he truly served the community with courage, honor, and integrity. Now, therefore, be it proclaimed that I, Stephen R. Olson, Mayor of the City of Franklin, on behalf of the Common Council and all the citizens of the City of Franklin, hereby recognize and commend the service of Ronald F. Mayer to the citizens of the City of Franklin, and wish him all the best in the years to come. Presented the city this date, April 2017. Thanks, Ron. Move on to item C, approval of the regular.
So moved.
Second.
All right, let's do this right. Approval of the regular Common Council meeting minutes of March 21st. Alderman Wilhelm.
On G7, page 7, the item says, on the last, it says, as amended by the city attorney, which is what I said, but I thought that we would just put in the language. That was the one about the easement. It was a little complicated when the city attorney was discussing how that needed to be inserted. So
what do you want it to say?
Whatever the city attorney had said that night about how that...
Technical corrections? Put that in there? As amended?
Is there a motion to approve accepting item G7?
Yes. So moved.
Second.
Madam Clerk.
If you would just hold the minutes as opposed to approving them without that item, otherwise we'd have to publish them twice.
Yeah, we don't want to do that. Is there a motion to table the next
meeting? So moved.
Second.
Discussion, seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 The opposed, motion carries. Move on to G1, the consent item agenda. A trained broadcaster. Consent item agenda. Any wishes for separate action? Is there a motion to approve?
Move to approve.
Second.
Discussion on that motion. Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed, motion carries. Item G2, financial services reimbursement agreement with Interstate Partners, Mr.
Sure. Interstate Partners is working to propose a project on Oakwood Road. My understanding is they've spoken with the aldermen of the district.
Not
about
all the way. When you turn them all the way down, it's the same as pointing them all the way up because they get rid of
them.
There you go. Thanks.
So I'll start again. Interstate Partners has proposed a project on Oakwood Road. My understanding is they've spoken with the aldermen of the district about pursuing potential financing through tax increment financing district that exists there. In pursuit of that, I feel it's worthwhile to run the project through an analysis with Ehlers to pursue the but-for test, the qualifications for that. And so, as we've done in other cases, this is an agreement with Interstate Partners that they would reimburse us for expenses associated with Ehlers. We would contract Ehlers as our fiduciary consultant in analysis of a pro forma for the project. So the agreement states that Interstate will cover the costs of the project. If it does not move forward, if the project does move forward, we'd roll those expenses forward to the TIF district, in which case the increment generated would be more than sufficient to cover the costs associated with the analysis.
I met with a developer last week. They came down to the courthouse and met with me and explained that because this project's
basically was proposed almost 2 years ago, and the cost of labor, cost of borrowing money, and all those things have changed, that for the project to move forward, they believe that TIF assistance would be needed, and I told them I would support us taking a look at it, and that's what's here. So I will make a motion to approve financial service reimbursement agreement with Interstate Partners as LLC.
Is there support?
I'll second.
Alderman Mayor.
Aaron, you said that there was enough increment to cover that.
The analysis side of it, the analysis is the amount is capped at $7,500. So presumably, if the development moved forward, I believe the estimated value on the project is in excess of $11 million, would be more than sufficient to pay that back in relatively short order. In the event that the project does not move forward, the agreement you're actually voting on right now says that Interstate Partners would cover those costs.
Okay. Alderman Willem.
And if it does move forward, what does that do to a TIF closure or non-closure? What?
Well,
does it affect it in any way?
Well, if you decided to move forward with it and make a contribution to the project after the analysis, we'd have to go back, and this is one of the things we would look at in the analysis, is what impact would it have on the district? And when would that then impact this closure schedule? But certainly you'd have to hold it open for some period of time just to make the contribution to the project. Again, that's a later step after the analysis and a decision that the council will have to make in the form of a development agreement. But there would be potential impacts there, yes.
Alderman Taylor.
Thank you, Your Honor. I thought that combined, you know, the first building is, what, is that 11? And the second one's nine. It's about $20 million total, I thought, combined the two. When they do the two different, if, you know, there's two separate buildings.
I'd have to go back and look at the proposal that just came into the planning department.
Yeah, it's like, I thought it was around $19 million if they, when they do the second one, and they're asked, you know, what they think they need is around $900,000 or so. So it's like, what, 5%?
Yeah. Right. So it would be more than sufficient.
Yeah. Thank you.
All those in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. Item G3 is the contract to do that with Keller's.
So move.
Second.
Discussion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. Item G4 is the contract with Rucker and Mielke for engineering services in that area. It's a holdover from last meeting. Yeah. Mr. Hertzberg.
Sure. We discussed it a couple weeks ago. There was a decision that council wanted to have additional conversations to pursue understanding of when the DOT project at Elm Road may occur. I'll reiterate what I said then, also now, that regardless of what the scheduling is of that DOT work at Elm Road, I think it's in our best interest as a community to understand the development potential that exists in that area. The contract with Rucker Mielke will help us look at potential stormwater management and floodplain areas that could impact the amount of developable lands. That amount of developable lands would certainly have impacts on the overall TIF district that exists there, which is why the two items are lined up together. We want to be able to first understand the engineering side of it so that we can have some input costs and potential expenditures. And then the next item on your agenda is a contract with Ehlers to do the analysis, which is not just analysis of the existing TIF district, but what are our opportunities that exist there? Is there a potential to move forward within the existing life of the district, or are there other solutions that we should be looking at as a community?
Well, actually, Alderman Willem helped beat me to it.
Alderman Willem.
Well, I'm still unclear on what happened to Task 2, which was, you know, where we were going down with this water and sewer, because it seems to me like we need to be having some financial conversations about what this means. So task two was, who's going to come on board with us at the water and sewer? How much money do we have in the TID? But to me, that should precede the answers to these questions. The DOT's build out of that road, raising it 7 to 10 feet, may not even happen. And so we put forward money to study the floodplain area, and then they either don't do the project or the rules change, and then we've spent a lot of money on something that we hope or we think might happen. I guess I have less of a concern with task order number four, where they want to look at the mapping and the changing the status of the stormwater basin. But to me, task three seems like it's way ahead of our answers on task two or the anything that the DOT is going to do. So what the idea is that they would come up with this analysis that this floodplain may change and then give that to Ehlers so they can add more land to come up with their analysis. But Ehlers is doing it based on a hopeful change in the design from the DOT that is way more than 2 years out. So Ehlers' figures are kind of going to be not realistic if the floodplain issue is not realistic. So to me, why don't we just do task order two and get the answer, if we can get water and sewer partner, so we know if that cost is going to be $12 million or $3 million. And I don't know if it involves Rupert Mielke to do that port, but we were supposed to have an answer. I didn't hear any conclusion on that. And then add task four to that for the stormwater, and then less so on the FEMA. The other thing on the FEMA information is, pretend there's no business park there at all. DOT wants to come in and raise that road 7 to 10 feet. DOT is responsible for the changing of that floodplain. Now, if we go out and hire Rupert Mielke to do all this FEMA analysis, this is something the DOT is going to do anyway. So we're paying Rupert Mielke to study something that we're unsure is even going to happen, that the DOT would have to take care of when they do the road. It just doesn't make a lot of sense to me on why we're doing that.
Sure, I can respond. There's a couple things that want to unpack as part of that. Task order two is still being worked on, and we're continuing to pursue conversations with surrounding communities. We don't have resolution to any of those conversations yet. It continues to be ongoing conversations. We're looking to run the contract with Rupert Mielke for task orders three and four concurrently, so we can continue coming up with answers. And in an effort to realize that we've got to have answers both to the questions that were asked or raised in task order two, we also need answers in three and four. We want to start initiating this process and coming up with as much answers as possible that best positions us to do the TIF analysis, right? So that's where we're coming at with that. On the floodplain question related to DOT and what their work will do, my understanding is that when DOT comes and looks at a project like this, they'll look at the engineering side of it, they'll undertake the work associated with it, but the actual changing of the floodplain doesn't have a significant impact for them. So that's something that they wouldn't necessarily pursue, a change in where that line is.
Well, are you 100% sure on that? Because I know a guy that has been doing DOT projects for 28 years who told me that it's DOT's responsibility if they change the floodplain on a project. So, I just want to know how...
I don't know that for sure. That was the conversation I had with the consultant, and my understanding from that conversation. Unfortunately,
right.
Couldn't join us tonight.
Because it concerns me a little bit, because if we use TID money, which is Franklin's money, instead of state money, to do this, Rupert Mielke now has all this data, so when the DOT comes up with their project, they're a shoe in the door for extra data that they've been able to obtain over under other consultants. And I'm not really interested in furthering their gain at our cost. And I'm not saying that's a guarantee, but that is a concern of mine. Especially if this DOT project is not, face it, it's going to, even if they came in today and said we're going to do it today, that project's 2 years out. This analysis is this floodplain. You got to have, this is exactly what the DOT is going to do. They're going to use this and raise this far. It's going to make these changes. And all the environmental laws are going to stay the same. In order for this $21,000 or whatever it is, $21,500 to be valid in 2 years.
I think we understand that. What we're trying to do is get as many answers as we can to best prepare for our project. I think there's another aspect to this as well, where the further we can carry this down the line and prepare this land for development, understand it, help developers understand where developable land will be and what infrastructure will look like, the more likely we are to bring in a developer. Well, and I think I there's an opportunity. Can I finish, please?
I'm fine with what he's saying and all that. I would just like to take the motion separately on task three and task four then.
I also think there's an opportunity for us as a community as to press DOT for answers and for questions regarding the design, to position ourselves to be assertive about our need, our interest in the Elm Road interchange. And I don't think that, you know, if we don't move forward with that aspect, we can continue to advocate for it. We can continue to talk to developers, but we're still speculating on what will happen with DOT. That's why we carry the item forward. We want to put ourselves in a position to be assertive about it, to get as many answers as possible, and then to respond accordingly and do the financial analysis accordingly.
The financial analysis sort of falls a lot back on the, is MMSD going to be a partner on this? Because how much money do we have left in this TID?
Well, you know, as of, I believe, this year, we have closed out the phase one project expenses, so we're just now beginning to accrue on it in this year, and it's certainly impacted by projects like the Interstate Partners projects and others that could potentially move forward in that area. So I don't have a direct answer about how much money's left in the TID.
Okay, Mr. Rosenberg?
At the end of December of 2016, the TID had just over $2.2 million in accumulation of the tax value of the increment, and will generate an additional approximately $1.2 million in 2017.
Okay. So let's say we're going to go ahead with the water and sewer. Even if we have MMSD on board, are we going to be able to have enough to cover that so we have these expenditures? Then when we go to make the decision on if we're going to close it or not, how is that going to affect that decision? Because now we're opening up something that we might not have enough increment for. It almost seems like we sort of need a little bit of a flow chart and a financial analysis, because we may be making a decision on locking ourselves in and not being able to close this. And closing this could mean a significant tax relief for the community. So it's really difficult for me to continue to kick it down without having that full financial analysis.
I don't disagree. I think the interest from staff has been to get permission to hire the consultants to look at all the opportunities, to do the financial analysis, not just of the existing TIF district, but to look at other potential solutions as well and fully understand what we're carrying forward. You know, this isn't an item that we've been talking about for some time now and have gotten pushed back on it a couple of times.
Do you feel that making decisions on these items tonight in any way is going to tie our hands in making that decision to close a TIF should we want to?
I would say not relative to items 4 and 5, although I would encourage you to allow us enough time to put that information together and bring it back to you for a presentation before you make a decision about closure. I will state that item 2 and 3, which you just approved related to the Interstate Partners project, would potentially impact the ability to close this year if you decided to move forward with that project.
Alderman Taylor.
Thank you, Your Honor. You know, I understand, and I've listened to the Alderwoman regarding the difference between tax three and four, and I do understand her concerns on number three and whether or not they can be done separately. I mean, I do see there's a difference there. You know, I last meeting asked for a layover or to be tabled for 2 weeks so I could talk to our state representative, which I did, and I left him a message that was pretty specific to what I was looking for. And a few days later, when we touched base again, he basically told me, you know, what I had assumed. And he says, at the very earliest, at the earliest is 5 years, and that's being very, 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 very generous. So I still will take the wager that I put on the table last time that this TIF will close before Elm Road or that bridge is done. Okay? I'll take that wager any day. He'd take it too. So I don't think that's going to happen. However, I think what I do understand is that we need more information than we have now. And that's what I think we are doing in this item and the next one, is gathering more information to be able to make a decision whether or not